phone is when I press play on my iPhone to listen. That's about it.
But praise God for gifts. And Pastor Cosley has used his gifts for God greatly this morning. We thank him so much for that. If we could open our Bibles yet again to John chapter 11. And I will read verses 38 through 44 in your hearing. Again, it's John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." Our sermon title for this morning is, "Who Cares?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for blessing us on this Sabbath day, for allowing us to be able to make it to this place, Lord, to look to you, to praise your name, to honor your name, Lord, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask now, Lord, that as we look at your word, that you would speak to us this morning. There are questions that we have. There are pains that we have. And Lord, we want to hear an answer from you. Speak through me this day, Lord. I am your servant. Set me to the side. No one is here to hear me. They want to hear your voice. Speak to us this morning, we pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. This Sabbath begins a new quarter for us. As you know, our preaching theme for the year is Connect. And the reason that we chose that theme is we wanted to make sure that here at Tacoma Park, we are connecting to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our last quarter, we spoke about connecting to Jesus' purpose. And for this quarter, we're going to shift focus and talk about connecting to Jesus' passion. Now, passion is a very interesting word because it denotes an extreme and intense emotion. Now, that emotion does not always have to be something happy. It doesn't have to be something negative, but it is an emotion. Now, it's interesting because when we talk about passion and when we use that word passion and connect it with God, normally we're talking about the cross. And there's nothing wrong with that because when we talk about the cross, that is the ultimate expression of God's love for us. But the question still remains, what is Jesus passionate about? You see, when we talk about God, when we think about God and think about Jesus and read these wonderful stories, sometimes we tend to remove God from emotion. We look at God as being so high and so mighty, and we look at Jesus as being so far above us that we sometimes don't think about the fact that God feels just like we do. God has emotions just like we do. He might not express them in the same way that we do, but God does feel. God does have emotion. So, if he does, what does he have emotions about? What is Jesus passionate about? When we look at this story, we get to see a glimpse of something that Jesus is passionate about. This story is a story we all know very well. It's one of Jesus' greatest and most powerful miracles, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It's an awesome story, and as you read the story, you get excited. Why? Because you know what's going to happen. You read through the story, you see what happens with Mary and Martha, you see what happens with Lazarus, and you see Jesus using his awesome voice to raise Lazarus from the dead. But the reason that we get so excited about the story is because we didn't live the story. You see, when you look at the story from the perspective of Mary and Martha, this was one of the greatest tragedies that ever struck them in their lives. Mary and Martha lost their brother. If you go back with me to the beginning of the story, and if you look at the story from their perspective, it goes a little like this. Mary and Martha see their brother Lazarus suffering with what the Bible just says is an illness. We don't know what it is. All we know is that this illness has slowly been taking the life of Lazarus. Over the years, Lazarus has been declining, and now he is at the point where he is on his deathbed. Mary and Martha are afraid that they're going to lose their brother, but during this time, Mary and Martha have met someone very special. Not only have they met this someone, but they have become good friends with this someone, this Jesus. He's come to their home. They have broken bread together. They become good friends, and they've heard that Jesus is somewhere close by. When they find out where he is, they realize that Jesus is about a day's journey away. So knowing that their brother Lazarus is on the way out, they get a messenger and tell that messenger to go find Jesus and tell him, don't just tell him that Lazarus is sick. Tell him that the one that he loves is ill. The word that they use for the one that he loves, they say, tell him the one that he phileos, his brother, his friend, is ill. Now, the reason that they knew that if the messenger went to Jesus and told him that they believed that the reason they believed that Lazarus would be healed is because they knew that Jesus had healed a man from a faraway place before. You see, there was an official son that the book of John talks about. This man's son was sick. The man was ill, and the man went and found Jesus at about a day's journey and asked Jesus, Lord, heal my son. And that location, Jesus said, he's healed. When the official went back home and spoke to his servants, he found out that the very moment that Jesus said that he was healed, his son was healed. Mary and Martha had faith that as soon as the messenger spoke to Jesus, that wherever Jesus was, Jesus would heal Lazarus. And so they send the messenger off. Again, it's a day's journey. So now they have to wait. The hours continue to pass. Lazarus' condition continues to get worse. But Mary and Martha still have faith because they know that their message is going to get to Jesus. The day begins to end. Lazarus' breath begins to come shallow. But they still have faith. And they tell Lazarus, just hold on just a little bit longer. Just wait for that messenger to get there. And as soon as the messenger will get there, Jesus is going to heal you. The day ends. And Lazarus dies. But you see, there's still a chance. Because the messenger, it was a day's journey to get there. Maybe the messenger got there too late. So if the messenger got there too late, surely Jesus would know because they believed, Mary and Martha believed that Jesus was Christ. They believed that he was the Son of God. So maybe then Jesus would come back with the messenger. And when Jesus would come back with the messenger, within a day's time, he would get there, see Lazarus, and raise him from the dead. Now, this is why they're expecting Jesus to come so soon. The Jews at the time believed that when someone died, for 3 days, the soul of that person would try to get back into the body. You see, after 3 days, the body would decompose to a point where the body would become disconfigured. After 4 days, the body would swell. The bacteria that was eating the inside of the person would begin to come out in a fluid, and the body would begin to stink, would begin to deteriorate, and that soul would no longer want to enter into that person. So Mary and Martha believed that as long as Jesus made it within the 3 days, Lazarus could still live. The messenger comes back. And I imagine that when Mary and Martha heard that the messenger was coming, that they ran out to meet him because they knew that Jesus would be there. The messenger was alone. Still not giving up hope, Mary and Martha wait. Now, it's also Jewish custom that when someone dies, they must be buried the same day. So Mary and Martha continue on with the process, because just because someone is buried doesn't mean that the soul won't still try to get into the body. So they call their friends, they call their family from Jerusalem, and the mourners and the people begin to gather around them. They go through the funeral process. They lay the spices on Lazarus's body. They wrap Lazarus's body in linen, and in each and every moment still waiting for the breath to come back into his body. They finally put him into the tomb and roll the stone closed. 2 days pass. Jesus has not yet come. Their hope begins to wane, but they still hold out because Jesus loves them. The third day passes, and Lazarus is gone. There's now no hope that Lazarus could ever be raised again. It's over. And Mary and Martha now have to grapple with the fact that their faith in Jesus did not pay. On the fourth day, Jesus shows up. Martha, the Bible says, runs to meet Jesus when he's not even in the village yet. He's not even in Bethany. Martha goes out to meet him and says, "Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died." There's a conversation that Jesus and Mary have, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Mary runs out to meet Jesus with the other mourners. The Bible says that she was weeping and fell at his feet and said the same thing, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They never say this in the Bible, but you can tell by their response that they're saying to Jesus, "Where were you? You were too late. Why didn't you do anything? Don't you love us like you said? Don't you care about us like you said? Why didn't you do something for me? Why are you allowing me to suffer? You loved me. You loved my sister. You said that you loved my brother. And now he's dead. Why don't you care about me?" You see, when you go through the story, it's not as joyous as you might think. When you start thinking about what Mary and Martha were going through, you realize this is what we go through as brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray to Jesus. We talk to God every day, every morning, and yet still we find ourselves suffering. We still find pain in our lives, regardless of the fact that God says that he loves us. Does God truly care about what we go through? when we talk about suffering and we're talking about the pain that comes into our lives, it's very important for us to remember and to understand that pain and suffering in our lives is not God's fault. Yes, we get mad at God because he has the power. Yes, we get upset with God because he has the ability to do what needs to be done to help us through our pain and through our suffering. But understand that suffering did not come from God. Suffering came as a result of sin. When you go back to the book of Genesis and you look at what happened with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the result of their sin was pain and suffering and death. That pain and death that exists in this world affects you, regardless of if you're connected with Jesus Christ or not. Where evil exists, pain exists. Where sin exists, death exists. And where death exists, suffering runs rampant. And so we are stuck in a world that is full of suffering. Stuck in a world that is full of sin and full of evil. Does God care? We say things all the time like God loves us, but does he care? Some of you have already said the answer. The answer is unequivocally yes. God cares about your suffering. God cares about your pain. And as a matter of fact, when we're looking at this story, what we're going to find is that Jesus does not only care, but has a deep and burning passion to get rid of your suffering and to get rid of your pain. Now, we've gone through the story looking at it by Mary and Martha's perspective. Let's go back to the story and look at it through Jesus' perspective. This is a story that we find in the Bible in chapter 11 of the book of John. When you go back to the very beginning of the of chapter 11, actually a little bit before, at the end of chapter 10, what you find out is Jesus was in Jerusalem a few months earlier. When he was there, while he was in the temple, the Jews tried to stone Jesus. Jesus escaped, went to the other side of the Jordan, and that's where he was when Mary and Martha sent the messenger. Now, when Jesus receives the message from that messenger, Jesus automatically said, "This illness does not lead to death," and went about his business. You see, Jesus knows something that we do not. Jesus understands something about the world that we just don't understand. It's something that we can't see. You see, Jesus knows the future. Jesus knows what your suffering is going to lead to. Jesus knows the end of your pain. So what Jesus says is, this illness does not lead to death, but it's going to lead to God being glorified. You see, what you have to understand about your suffering and your pain is that Jesus wants to turn your suffering and turn your pain into a blessing. Not only a blessing for you, but Jesus wants to turn your pain and your suffering into a blessing for somebody else. I'll get to that a little bit more in a second. Now, what John says about Jesus is that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, what's interesting is, remember, when the messenger came and talked to Jesus, they said, "Lord, the person that you phileo is ill." When John describes Jesus' love for Mary and Martha and Joseph, he uses the word agape. You see, Lazarus and Mary and Martha looked at their relationship with God as one with a brother, one as a friend. But Jesus looked at their relationship as a father, as someone who loved his children unconditionally. You see, the problem with suffering and the problem with pain is that when we look at God, we look at God through cloudy eyes. You see, it's hard to see the sun when you're in the middle of the storm. And so when we think about God and when we think about how God loves us, we still don't truly understand the depths of that love. But what you need to understand when you're suffering is, first of all, Jesus loves you more than you know and more than you understand. It's important to hang on to that fact because that is what is going to help you get through. So, Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus more than they know. Now, the Bible says that he waits for another 2 days. Jesus loves him so much, why does he wait for 2 days? If you remember what I told you, Jesus had just escaped from Jerusalem. They were trying to stone him to death. So Jesus was staying in where he was for those extra 2 days because he knew that the Jews that were in Jerusalem were going to gather around Mary and Martha. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Jesus didn't wait for those 2 days to avoid the people that tried to kill him. Jesus waited for the 2 days because he wanted to make sure that the people that were trying to kill him were around Mary and Martha when he went down to raise Lazarus. I'm going to say it again. God wants to use your suffering and your pain as a blessing, not only for you, but for somebody else. You see, Jesus had a plan, and Jesus's plan was to show God's glory, not just to Mary and not just to Martha, but literally to the people that tried to kill him. You see, what God wants to do is he wants to work in your life and help you make it through your suffering and help you make it through your pain so that way you can have a testimony to share with someone to help them make it through their problems and through their pain so that that person can help someone else make it through their struggles and make it through their pain so that person can tell somebody else how to make it through their struggles and to make it through their pain. We share and share and share so that everyone in the world is able to see that God cares for our suffering, that God still sits on the throne and helps us through our suffering, and so God can be glorified knowing that he helps regular human beings make it through their pain. God wants to be glorified through our pains, through our sufferings. So Jesus waits for the 2 days, and he finally makes it down to Bethany on the fourth day. Now, remember, Mary and Martha don't know any of this. So when Martha runs out to meet Jesus, she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, this is the rest of the conversation. She says, "But I know that God hears everything that you ask." Jesus responds to her, "Do you believe that Lazarus will live again?" Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I know that my brother Lazarus will be raised again in the second resurrection." Jesus stops and says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, I know I said I wasn't going to preach any more I am sermons, but I had to stop here because Jesus says yet again, "I am." He doesn't say I have resurrection and life powers. He says, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." You see, when you're connected to Christ, you have automatic victory over pain and over suffering and over death. It doesn't mean that pain and suffering will not affect you, but what it means is that through the power of Christ living inside of you, you will never have to go through that pain and suffering alone. You'll never have to go through that pain and suffering without the peace that passes understanding. You'll never have to go through that suffering without God. So Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Martha leaves. Now at this point, Jesus continues to make his way to the tomb. But still before he gets there, this is where we see Mary show up. This is where we see the mourners show up. The Bible says that Mary was weeping. In Greek, it means that she's making a noise that is so loud because of her sadness that it's unbearable. So Mary, weeping, falls at Jesus' feet. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, the Bible says that Jesus, at this moment, was deeply moved and grieved in his spirit, troubled in his spirit. When you read it just off the face of the Bible, you would think that Jesus is moved
with emotion of sadness. Because he sees the weeping and the sadness that is surrounding the death of Lazarus. He's moved because he sees Mary weeping. He's moved because he sees everyone crying. The movement that is described in Greek inside of God's body at that moment is not a movement of sadness. It is a movement of indignation. It is a movement of righteous anger. At that moment, Jesus is so angry that the word that is used in the Greek describes Jesus as snorting like a horse because he is so angry with what it is that he's seeing. Now understand, he's not angry at the mourners. He's not angry with Mary because they're crying. He is angry because his children are hurting. He now has a righteous fire burning inside of him because he sees the pain that death is causing his children. So at that moment, Jesus' anger is riled up because he is so mad with sin, so angry with death, that all he can do is stand and snort. I use this text to say that Jesus is passionate about your suffering. You see, Jesus doesn't sit on a throne looking down indifferently at the pain that you're going through. Jesus goes through that pain with you. Jesus goes through that suffering with you. And the emotion that he feels at that moment is anger. You see, there's a reason that when you get to the book of Revelation, Jesus lays out a lake of fire specifically to destroy sin and to destroy death. Jesus has a righteous anger against the things that are causing us pain in this world. So Jesus, standing there snorting with anger, is now asked to get closer to the tomb. When Jesus gets closer to the tomb, he loses it. Which is why the Bible says Jesus wept. Jesus breaks down in tears. Not because he's overwhelmed with sadness, but because he's so overwhelmed with anger, with righteous anger against sin and death and evil and the pain that his children are going through, that he stops where he is and breaks down in tears. God cares about your suffering. God cares about what it is that you are going through. But follow me now, because this is where we get to the text. God does not only care about your suffering, but God acts in order to end your suffering and pain. You see, what the Bible says in verse 38 is that Jesus again was so deeply moved, again, angered, that he decided to go in front of the tomb. You see, Jesus didn't have to stand in front of the tomb in order to raise Lazarus up from the dead. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't even have to leave his town and risk his life to come down and raise Lazarus from the dead. But this scripture says that Jesus was so moved with anger, so moved with passion, that he wanted to face his enemy head on. So Jesus, filled with righteous anger, snorting as he walked, moved down and stood in front of the tomb to face death in the face. Jesus faces your problems head on. Now, I don't know what your problems are this morning. I don't know if it's sickness. I don't know if you're having financial struggles. I don't know if you've had a death in the family. But know that the God that sits on the throne of the universe is facing your particular struggle head on. He's not sitting down on the throne looking at you and saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry." No, he is coming down with you, facing that struggle with you. And he's going to use his power to help free you from your struggle, free you from your pain, free you from the things that you're going through. You have the God of the universe and all of his power on your side, and he is a God that is actively fighting for you. Is this Jesus that stands in front of the tomb and says, "Take away the stone"? Now, Martha's response is interesting. She says, "Lord, there's going to be an odor. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. The Greek says, "Lord, He stinks. Don't move away the tomb. Now, Martha's got a point. Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. I described to you what's going on with his body right now. His body is literally decomposing. There's going to be a stench. But Jesus' response is interesting. Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? In my own head, I kind of imagine it where Martha said that and Jesus turned around and said, did I ask you if he was going to stink? I said, open the tomb. You see, when we're going through our struggles, let's not think that God doesn't know what we're going through. We don't need to take the time to show God and show God the problems that we're going through. There's no need to get on our knees and say, Lord, we're past the point of your healing. We're past the point of your power. There's no need for you to act in my life. What are you doing? No, get out of God's way. He doesn't have time to talk to you about what he's doing. Jesus is trying to free you from what you're going through. Don't get in his way. Just let God do his work. If Jesus says move a stone, then move a stone. If God says use your last check here, use your last check there. God is trying to bless you. Get out of his way. So now Jesus says, Martha, get out of the way. Didn't I tell you earlier that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? What I like about what Jesus says is he's not saying that you would perceive in some kind of spiritual way. No, he says you will see with your eyes physically the glory of God. If you would let me do my work, you will see in your life what God is trying to do for you. So he says, move out the way. Jesus then lifts up his eyes to heaven and says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. That's a past tense sentence, y'all. When did Jesus pray to God about Lazarus? I don't know. The text doesn't tell us. All I know is that Jesus went to the tomb with a plan. Jesus went and stood before the tomb having already talked to God about what it is that he was going to do. I don't know when Jesus talked about it, but Jesus knew that he was going to be standing in that spot trying to help Martha and Mary and Lazarus before it happened. Jesus knows what you're going to go through before you get there, and he has a plan already in place to get you out. Jesus has already talked to God. He's talked to the Holy Spirit. He's figured out what he needs to do. He's figured out the amount of power that he needs. He figured out where you need to stand. He's figured out where the other people need to stand so he can save you and get you out of your mess. God has a plan that he has already worked out for you. He says, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for hearing me. I'm just saying this so everyone else can know that you sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying this part isn't even for me, this is for everybody else. He then stands in front of the tomb. And the Bible says that he shouts, Lazarus, come out! Now, I heard a preacher one time say that Jesus had to make sure that he said Lazarus, because if he simply said come out, everybody in the tomb might have came out and were raised from the dead. If he wasn't careful, the dead flower staying around might have risen up. We don't know. There might have been a hidden body somewhere that popped up out of the ground because Jesus wasn't specific, because that's the power that Jesus has. Now think about this. Lazarus was not just dead. He was decomposing. It wasn't just that he had been a freshly dead corpse for a few hours. Literally, his insides were liquid. They were coming out of his body. And whatever it is that Jesus said
cause the liquids to come back in, cause whatever liver had been gone to come back together, cause the stomach to reform, cause the intestines to come back, cause the heart to continue to come back. Now listen, there's no blood in his body, but somehow blood finds its way into Lazarus's body. And not only that, but the muscles that had turned to atrophy suddenly begin to refill his body. His brain that was plastic and turning to mush was now filled with electricity. And somehow Lazarus, who was bound by his feet and hands, was able to get up and walk out of the tomb. This only by Jesus's word. He spoke, and this is what took place. This is the God that you serve. A God whose words create planets. A God whose words put the stars in the sky. A God whose words literally brought a man who was dying and decaying back to full life. So Lazarus comes out of the tomb, and everyone that is there sees what God has done. At that moment, Mary and Martha knew without the shadow of a doubt that Jesus cared for them. But it wasn't just them, y'all. Everybody that was standing around, the people that had tried to stone Jesus earlier, knew at that moment what Jesus was truly about. God has a plan for your suffering. God has a plan for your pain. God came down to this earth in the form of Jesus Christ to get rid of the root of suffering, to get rid of the root of death. He came down to get rid of sin. God cares about you. When you go back to the book of Genesis and you see God coming to the garden after Adam and Eve had sinned to give them clothes, to give them instructions on how to make it through the world, you see that God cares. When you see how God took of the Israelites while they were in the wilderness, you see him as a pillar of fire in the night, a pillar of cloud in the day, personally leading the children of Israel out of their suffering. God cares about your suffering. When you see Jesus walking on the earth, literally touching lepers and healing them, speaking to the dead and watching them raise, giving sight to those that are blind, touching those that are lame and seeing them walk again, God cares about your suffering. When you see God act in your own life, when you see the things that you are going through and you see that you're still here today by the grace and mercy and love and power of God, it is obviously evident that God cares about you. What excites me is when we get to that last day when Jesus himself descends from the clouds and with the voice of an archangel cries out your name to lift you out of the grave. When Jesus comes back and says, Aaron, come out. When Jesus comes back and says, Tara, come out. When Jesus comes back and says, Henry, come out. When Jesus comes back and says, Edson, come out. When he comes back and calls us out of the grave and wipes the tears from our eyes, we'll see again how much God cares for us. My appeal for this morning is for those of us that are suffering right now. We're going through pain right now. All we want to know is that God cares. All we want to know is that he hears our cries, that he hears us when we're calling on him for help. This story is evidence that God not only hears your cry, but he's got a plan to get you out of your suffering and pain. And even though you might think it's too late, God is the one who has this entire thing in control. Don't let your hope die because the thing that you've been waiting for is dead and gone, because God has got something better planned for you. If that thing was gone, understand that God allowed that thing to go out of your life. Let go and let God bring you something new, something better. Let's all stand. For those that are of us that are suffering and need help just making it through our day today, this prayer is for you. I would ask that we all hold hands. You know how I like to get everybody to hold hands. I'm going to hold someone's hand too. Understand this. God is working in all of our lives. There are some of us in this room that have been through struggle, that have been through pain, and at this moment we're at a better place. There are those of us that are going through pain and through struggle right now. As I'm praying, I'm going to ask that those of you who are not going through anything right now, in your hearts, pray for those that are going through something. For those that are going through your struggle, through your Lazarus experience right now, first of all, understand that God loves you. Second of all, understand that there's a plan for you. Pray that God will reveal that plan and that He'll help you make it through this time. I'll give everyone a few moments to pray, and then I'll pray. Father, we know that you care for us and that you love us, but sometimes we just don't see it. We want to be able, Lord, to have hope that you're doing something for us on our behalf. We look and we don't see a way out. But Lord, we're claiming in faith right now that you have a plan for us. We're claiming in faith right now that you're working on our behalf. You've seen the struggle that was coming, and we know, Lord, that you have the power and the strength to get us through. So, Lord, we're calling out to you right now, whether it's on the behalf of someone else or for ourselves, asking you to come into our lives and help us make it through. We know that you have a passion for our suffering. And Lord, at this moment, right now, we're asking that you would show us the way. Amen. That you would show us how to make it through so that we can come out on the other side and see your glory. But not only that, so that we can share our testimony with someone else so that they can see your glory as well. We'll continue to hold on to you, Lord. We're not going to leave your side. And we ask, Lord, that you'll give us the strength and the power to make it through. Yes. We love you, Lord. Yes. We thank you. Yes. And we know you care. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.